Bustin' Loose Baseball, hosted by Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer, gives you in-depth analytics and interviews on everything baseball in the nation's capital. Now, here's your host, Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer.
All right, one guy I did want to talk about because I got a message from somebody to do so, and you can always hit us up. We're on Twitter and Instagram, Bustin' Loose Baseball. This was Josh that sent this, and he said, "Hey, Grant, longtime listener, big Nats fan here. I'm wondering, could you give some insight into what you think is wrong with Dylan Cruz, or as I refer to him, DC3? He says, when do you think he should start, or we should start to show concern? I don't know about you, but what I've seen this season, minus a couple of weeks stretch in late April, has been extremely discouraging. What are some signs you've seen that show that he's starting to progress?" So I'll let you get the first crack at this. I've got lots of thoughts, but what do you think?
Well, I think you saw that he can still give you a lot for this team without the bat. And we'll get to the bat in just a second. But you saw him make a spectacular play in center field on Sunday. So he's a good fielder. And, you know, the numbers aren't great on him so far in the field. He's 52nd percentile in fielding run value, according to Baseball Savant. So he's kind of average, but that's also learning right fields. And I think you saw that if you just watch him play, you can see that he can be a spectacular fielder. So he's good in the field. He's good on the base pass. He's 84th percentile for that on Baseball Savant. So he's been really, really good in basically every other aspect. And when you look at his bat, I think the most concerning part, and if I were a Nats fan and you want to throw the panic button on something for Dylan Cruz, I think it's the quality of pitches that he's swinging at. His whiff percentage is 14th percentile. He's chasing 40th percentile. He's striking out and walking at low rates, or striking out at high rates, walking at low rates. But I think when he actually hits the ball, he's hitting it just fine. His barrel percentage is in the 82nd percentile. Hard hit, 50th percentile. Bat speed, 70th percentile. Average exit velo, 65th percentile. So I actually think when he's hitting the ball, he's fine, and he's also hit into some bad luck. Like, if you've watched him, it seems like he, more so than anybody else on the Nationals, can't catch a break. He's going to hit one 107, and it's right at the third baseman. He had that happen this weekend a couple of times. Now, you know, that comes with some strikeouts and at-bats where he doesn't look very competitive. Those are the discouraging ones. But I think overall his process is good. And I think for people that are a little bit scared about some of these things, it's understandable, it's justified, but I don't think he's someone that it's the mentality, the struggles are ever going to get to him. And so to me, unless it gets egregious where, you know, it's we're middle of June or July and he's batting sub 150, maybe then we can have a discussion about, okay, maybe he needs to go to Rochester and regroup. But to me, he's already shown you this year, Grant, that he can start poorly like he did. He adjusted for like a 2-week period. He was hitting over 300. Now he's back into a slump. I think this is just the rigors of a rookie season. And maybe Nats fans need to readjust a little bit of their expectations. You know, James Wood, I think, can be a real superstar and potential MVP. I don't know that Dylan Cruz has that ceiling. And I think some Nats fans believe that. So maybe, you know, they're throwing some unrealistic expectations on him. But I think this is also just a rookie going through it. And this team understands that he has the mentality to be able to handle the struggles. And so they're going to let him ride it out. And they're not going to mess with him. They're going to put him in the lineup every day. And some days and some weeks, you're going to see him look really, really bad. And then for stretches, like we've seen already at points of this year, he'll look like a really good major league ball player for a 2-week stretch. So I think it's just, this is going to be a roller coaster ride through his rookie season. I think by the end, his numbers will look a lot more respectable than they do right now. But I think part of it is he's gotten a little bit unlucky early on in his rookie season.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different ways to go with this. You covered a bunch of areas that I kind of want to hit on here. First things first, I do think he is a victim of hype, and I just wish everyone had to listen to our preseason podcast before they got to think about Dylan Cruz, right? And I'm kidding, obviously. I'm you know, not being a jerk. But what I was trying to scream into a megaphone, and I think what we were saying as a show is we'd got back from spring training, and you know, the amount of he is the most sought after autograph. He is the most beloved player, it seems like. He's the guy that was getting the most calls, not James Wood, from fans to come sign. If you looked at opening day and the pop of the crowd for everyone other than like Doolittle and Zim or whoever else from the World Series team was around, he got the loudest ovation and cheers, not James Wood. He's a star. I think it's because he was on TV a lot with the College World Series at LSU. Maybe it's because he's got a cool name. It's obviously because he was a number two overall pick. Now, that's a huge deal as well for people that follow minor leagues, prospects, the draft like I do. All of these things are why, you know, there was just a ton of discussion about him. And, you know, the discussion, I think, correctly is that he's going to be a star, that he's going to be an excellent player, that he's going to be really, really good. I just don't think people really understand what that means. I think when they hear star, they assume that means he's going to hit 300 with 30 home runs. And, stars come in different shapes and sizes, and stars come in different styles, right? A star could be, you know, a 25 home run center fielder who hits 285 and steals 35 bags and plays gold glove defense and isn't a 6.5 war guy who's the heart and soul of your team. That's what Dylan Cruz is going to be, I think, when it gets right here. I haven't changed off that. In fact, I talked to a front office person from another team that was at Nats Park on this homestand, and that I bumped into, and I was texting with them afterwards, and I said, hey, what do you think of Cruz? And they said, I absolutely love the guy. Like, so jealous. Every time I watch him, I like him more and more. And I was like, really? Even with the offensive struggles, they're like, absolutely. They're like, I've not watched that guy one time and not come away impressed. And I'm like, awesome to hear. Like, that's another executive from another team in the league. So, I think around baseball, the stuff that he can do is the stuff that you have to pay a lot of money for that you can't really find, right? He can play a premium position defensively very, very well. You saw him make a unbelievable catch in left center field today. It was just sparkling parallel to the ground. I would remind everyone too that his value is as a center fielder. When they moved him to the corner, while I understood it, and I said this all offseason, in my opinion, he is, you know, if he's going to be a right fielder for his entire career, well, then he just isn't as valuable or as important a player. And what I mean by that is like the reverence for him should be less, because right fielders hit for more power than he does. And that's where run productivity comes from. And he will be a plus defensive right fielder. See like a Nick Markakis back in the day or something like that. But where he should play is center, because when you're playing a premium defensive position at a really high level defensively, then you have more margin for error offensively. And even if he was doing exactly what he's doing this year, if he was playing center field every day, I guarantee you that his, you know, WAR and his value and a lot of those things would be much higher. But I think ultimately that's what he's going to be. It's what he should be, in my opinion. I don't think he was a slam dunk to go number two overall if he's not a center fielder. Now, I would have still taken him to, even probably as a corner outfielder. You know, it'd be easy to now to say Langford or whatever. But if I knew I was taking a corner outfielder, then it would have been neck and neck with Langford, who's got more power and, you know, a just a bigger body and more of a chance to be like a slugger, so to speak. So the idea that he's going to end up in a corner, to me, I'm just not sold on. I think if he's a center fielder and you've got Wood in left and then either one of your internal guys like a Hassel or a Dalen Lyle or whatever in right, or you could, I know this is crazy, but like spend money, like spend money on your team and like sign someone who's good at baseball. You could do that. And then you could have like a 30 homer bat in free agency. I'm cracking myself up, but you could put that guy at right field and then you'd have Dylan Cruz in center. So I think maybe that's where this thing ends. As far as his struggles, I'm being super long-winded, but I'll tag you back in. I mean, you kind of addressed this, but I'll get into what I think about some of his offensive struggles. But, I mean, where are you at on just him at the plate right now, what you're seeing?
Yeah, I mean, there are times where he looks uncompetitive, Grant, and that's the ones that really concern me, because this is a guy that faced really good SEC pitching and was the best hitter in college baseball for quite a while. What did he have his senior year or his final year? He was on base every single game. And at times you see him against major league pitching. You're like, where's that guy at? And, you know, he has good at bats at times too, or he homers in a big spot on Saturday. So he's just kind of inconsistent right now, and I think he's searching for something. I don't know if it's a swing. I don't know if it's something. I don't know exactly what it is. I'm not a mechanics guy. I'm not someone that's going to be able to break it down that well for you. I never played the game at a super high level. He's going to understand it much better than me, obviously. But I think there's something there that's just missing. But I'm not worried, Grant, just because he's someone that I think can handle this. And I think you see the potential there. And unless it just became so egregious that you're like, all right, this no longer is productive to have him up here, then maybe you make a move. But that bar has to be so low for him to go below that. And I just don't see that happening. So, there are times where he doesn't look great. There was also a two-week stretch that not that long ago, Grant, a couple weeks ago, where it looked like he was coming out of it and was playing really well and got the average well over 200 and was batting like 300 for a 15-game stretch. So I think it's ups and downs. It's a roller coaster.
Yeah, I mean, if you take his first 2 weeks or whatever it was where he, you know, was just off to the terrible start, first 10 days out of it, and he's probably hitting like 240 right now. Nobody's having this conversation because he had the super hot stretch and then he's been cold for a few weeks since, and it kind of balances out. But obviously the slow start is a killer. He's gone through some ruts where he strikes out more than I thought he would. That certainly happened at the beginning of the year. But, you know, as an example here in his last, like what we're talking about, the struggles right now, right? And over the last, I think it's like six games or whatever, and 15, 18 at bats, he's got two strikeouts. So is the ball in play? I mean, my question is more about slug and like damage, because he's, you know, getting out of bed hitting singles, it feels like, when he's going good. He hit the big home run going back a couple of days ago in this series against the Cardinals to make it a game. Remember with the, I think the bases, maybe they weren't loaded, but he came up in a big spot with a couple on against the Guardians and hit a ball. I thought it was out off the bat, actually.
Yeah.
That went down into the left field corner for an extra base hit. Like, those are the things that I want to continue to see, because, you know, he's got the ability with his strong wrists and the bat speed, which we're talking about Lowe's. He's got better bat speed than Lowe, a big guy, right? He's able, with the exit velocities being huge that you talked about, like, he can do damage, and he needs to be. But let me just ask this question, and this is rhetorically for the people listening, but Toby, you can answer as they're, representing them here on the pod. If he was hitting 259 right now with a 467 slug, which would be an above average batting average, okay, and his slug would be almost 70th percentile, about 470, right? So even with an on-base that's not great, your OPS would be a little south maybe of 800, let's say. What would you be saying?
No one would be saying anything. If anything, it would be positive.
Right. It would be like, oh, he's done okay offensively. Those are the expected numbers for him right
yes.
now. Based on how hard he hits the ball, you know, the way the ball's coming off his bat. So forgive me for not being panicked here. I'm just not.
Well, and this can be a case where if you look at the numbers, they don't look good. But if you have a chance to actually watch the ball games, again, he feels like more so than anyone else this year, snake bitten, where he'll hit the ball 105 and it's just right at somebody. And the process is good there. Obviously, you want the results to be there, but sometimes that's what happens with baseball. It's a difficult game, and it feels like for him that's happened more so than anyone else on the team, where he just stings a ball and it's right at people. Real quick, Grant, though, kind of rhetorical on your way back here, or a simple question your way back. I think sometimes we lay out what we expect these guys to be. You know, James Wood, I think we expect to maybe be a 30 and eventually a 40 homer bat, right? Like, we expect him driving in 100 RBIs, and he's someone that could potentially win an MVP. When you think Dylan Cruz, assume he hits, you know, 80% of his ceiling, 90% of his ceiling, what are you thinking? Because for me, I'm thinking gap to gap, 20, 25 homers, a lot of runs, electric player, but he's you know, fringe all-star year to year. He's not MVP caliber. He's not really. I think a lot of people have gotten to the point where, you know, they see a Nats prospect getting called up and they think it's Bryce Harper. They think it's Juan Soto. And I know he had spectacular times here, but to me, it was more like, he reminds me a little bit of how Anthony Rendon would be, where Rendon was spectacular.
Yeah, Rendon's the comp for me in
like
terms of
doubles, right?
Yes, absolutely. I do. I, like, if you told me, though, if I had to bet Will Dylan Cruz ever have a 30 home run season? I would bet that at some point in his career, he might hit 30 once. Like if you were to say like he's, you know, he's either going to hit 30 once or never, you know, or like never hit 25 or something. I'd be like, okay, he's going to hit 30. In other words, but yes, I think 20 to 25, you know, in the mid 20s is kind of the range for sure. But you know, he's, it depends too. Like, is he going to be playing center and running around gap to gap and the wear and tear on your body? Are they going to keep him in a corner and he's just going to learn right and be there? But, you know, BABIP is interesting here. I'm just looking this up on Fangraphs. So batting average, balls in play, it varies year to year. I'd have to look up this year's, but generally about 300 is what is considered normal for batting average, balls in play. Anything below that means you've been unlucky. Anything above that means you've been pretty lucky, right? So in other words, if you're hitting 340 in BABIP, your balls are falling in way more often than they are for the average player, okay, on batted balls. Whereas if you're hitting, you know, 150, you're the least lucky person ever because you're half of what basically someone else is in terms of luck. His BABIP is 227. I mean, you're talking about like 70 points, quote unquote, unlucky. So, yeah, I mean, any of these metrics, I think would leave the Nats feeling okay. I can't speak for them. I don't know what they would do if in 2 months, you know, he's still hitting. And I don't think he would be, but like 195 or 200. But as long as he's making ridiculous catches in left center, as long as he seems unfazed, and they would know, we don't, like, what is it like actually behind the scenes? But the way he plays the game is that of someone who is not bothered. I was watching him today, and I wanted to tweet this, but I didn't because I, you know, I shouldn't let people get in my head, but I didn't want to deal with all the smart asses and the Nats GMs on Twitter that are, you know, way to make an excuse for a guy who stinks or whatever they would say. But like, just watching him, I pointed this out to my son on every ground ball, and there are more of them than I'd like, trust me. He runs his ass off.
Mm-hmm.
It is a hard 90 every single time. There was not another player on the team today that I noticed that dug down the line in their at bats on routine outs like he did. That's the Dylan Cruz experience. Like, if you want to roll your eyes, if you want to be like, oh, sure, okay, watch it. Watch what I'm talking about. He does everything the way that a coach would program a player to do it. That's why he's the captain of the team when it, you know, when they strap a C on somebody. That's why he is. And I'm the biggest James Wood fan in the world. I'm not saying like he's not a hustler and not one of these guys, but Cruz just does things in a way where it's big league. And so if you're asking me, like, is he at risk of, and again, I don't know what they're thinking, but it would be insane. I think he's important to the clubhouse already. I think the way he plays drags the other guys into the fight. I am impressed by him almost every day. Is his offense ultra disappointing? Yeah, he's hitting 182 with a, you know, 560 ops. That's brutal. But do I think that, you know, that's authentic to how he's performed at the plate? Not at all. And even if his numbers that he had earned, which would still be a little bit disappointing, I'd say, were his numbers, okay. I mean, it's May 11th. One last thing I'll say. I was listening to Christian Yelich recently. He was on an interview. I think it was with, pardon my take, Barstool. And they asked him, like, about his season. And I'd have to look up his numbers now. But he got off to a horrendous start to the year. And, like, he said he basically had, like, a couple of hits through, like, 10 days or something like that. And he said he knew right away, like 3 weeks into the season struggling, he's like, I knew right then I would be basically fighting all year to overcome that start. He's like, because even when you get out of a funk, he's like, you get out of it, but then you get cold again. Then you get out of it, then you get cold again. So like all balances out mostly. So he's like, I'm going to be looking up at the scoreboard probably until June just to get to a place where it doesn't look awful anymore. And his point was, I don't really pay much attention to it. But he said in baseball, we have this saying where when you start like that, you got to grab your hard hat. And I forget the other thing he said, like grab your hard hat and punch your time card. And you look at his average right now, Christian Yelich is hitting 208 with like a 675 OPS. So you would look at that and say, oh, he's having a really bad year. But that was his point, is like, I'm going to pay for this for weeks and weeks and weeks. And I think you've seen some of that with Cruz. Now, obviously, he's been really cold here recently again. He's 7 for his last 53, which is a 132 average. So when you have a couple of these, it's going to cost you a few months. But, you know, when he comes up, I anticipate a good at-bat at this point still. And I don't know if I'm in the minority on that or not, but I do. I just think he's a pro. And that's where I'm at on Dylan Cruz. Yes, I'm disappointed. I don't want it to all be rainbows and sunshine. It has not gone the way that I wanted, but he didn't dominate offensively in the minors. He was basically hitting 260, double A, triple A, or whatever. I think a lot of people were expecting him to come up and, you know, win rookie of the year and make the all-star team. And, you know, maybe that's just not realistic.
Yeah. And I think real quick, just to wrap this up on it, like, you know, another Nats comparison, what he reminds me of in terms of energy, like you were talking about, and confidence level and the way he plays the game, he reminds me if Bryce Harper had actually gone to college and played a little bit more mature when he got called up, because that's what he is to me. That same mentality that Harper had, but not running into walls, a little bit smarter, right? Like that effort, that excitement, that energy. I think he energizes the guys because, and you look at some of the other dudes on the team, and I really like James Wood, and he leads in his own way. But James Wood isn't demonstrative. And I think obviously when he hits a game-winning homer or does something to that's great on the ball field, he's going to obviously energize the guys. But I think it's a little bit of different energy when Dylan Cruz does something and he's on base and, you know, making whatever their sign is back to the dugout and fired up. And I think there's just a different energy that comes with him, a little bit Harper-esque, like when he first came up. And I think he has that sort of energy, whatever it is. And so you're 100% right. If you said, oh, send him down, this, you're missing the bigger point here. I know the average and the stuff doesn't look great, but that's also the only part of his game that is struggling, because the base running is great, the fielding is great, and I think the tool that you can't measure is leadership and how important a guy is to the clubhouse. And I think he's near the top of that for both of those things. So I think it would be foolish for them to make any sort of move anytime soon. It would have to be something in a month where we look down and go, yeah, it's probably gone too far now. And then I think the guys in the clubhouse would understand it's not even close to there yet, though.
The results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par with me, Maury Povich, wherever you get your podcasts.
So I guess to finish the answer, the question where he said, like, when should we start to get worried? Well, I guess I'm viewing it differently, but there's too many good things for me to be worried overall. If you want to zero in just on offense and hitting and the ability to ID breaking balls, because again, something we talked about all offseason was he did not hit breaking balls at all. And this season, he has kind of carried that over. Fastballs, he's hitting 225 against. Breaking balls, 163, off speed, 100. He is 2 for 20 in at-bats that end off speed. He is 7 for 43 at-bats that end breaking balls. Now, expected batting average on the fastballs over 270, breaking balls 260, which is fine. But, you know, off speed is still like in the teens, 215, 218, I think last time I saw. So, you know, there's work to be done for sure. Not a finished product. My answer would be if it's the All-Star break, and Dylan Cruz is, you know, hitting 207 and still hitting a ton of ground balls and just, you know, going 0 for 4 with, you know, two ground outs. Okay, then I would have some real questions about the development. What are we doing here? What how are we fixing this? How are we making sure that these bad habits or whatever's happening and preventing him from having success don't become the norm? But it's going to take more sample. And I just, big picture, the makeup, the way he plays, the defensive ability, the aggressiveness and smarts on the base paths, the rest of it, he's checked so many boxes that hitting into bad luck and not hitting for a lot of authority are just not something I'm going to be screaming a whole lot about in the first or second week of May of this young season.